There are more questions today about children's healthcare, this time centering on allegations that a consultant using the National Treatment Purchase Fund referred patients from the public waiting list to his private practice. An unpublished report, first disclosed by the Sunday Times, said the children would have been treated earlier if the consultant had instead referred them to colleagues. This is the latest controversy to hit Children's Health Ireland, which oversees specialist health services for young people. Separately, the Cabinet has been discussing plans for setting up a panel to review children's hip operations. Last week, an audit found that a high percentage of those surgeries were unlikely to have been needed. The Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll-McNeill, is in our Doyle studio and she joins us now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rita.
You've now seen this report, the report into the surgeon and the National Treatment Purchase Fund. It was originally commissioned, I think, back in 2021. What can you tell us about it?
This report is very serious and I received it yesterday at about 3:30 in the afternoon, and both I and the senior departmental officials read the report, and last night I wrote back to CHI with a series of detailed questions. And I have more detailed questions to follow up with. I am trying to gather information and I am trying, it's very important to say, to work out the legal parameters around how I would publish this report. I do think it will be important that it is published, but I need to make sure that I take the correct steps. There are important issues in this report. Number one, for patient safety, first and foremost, about the scheduling of patient, about operations and the way in which that's managed in the best interests of children. Number two, it details very toxic behaviours that had been in the had been in Crumlin. And they are toxic behaviours that is not the first time that we have heard about this across the surgical system in CHI. Some of the other reports relating to hips detail and other issues detail difficult, very, very difficult working circumstances. So this is an issue that is not confined to Temple Street nor to Crumlin, but there has been a historical issue in CHI that very clearly needs very close attention. It also has important implications for the NTPF and the way in which that was used in this case, which is very different to the way the NTPF model works normally. The payments are never, never made by the NTPF to any individual consultants, but to the hospitals more broadly. And the purpose of that, for everybody listening, is of course to try to expedite people off a waiting list while we develop the public system. Sláintecare is about delivering a fully public system and that there's total equity of access to treatment and that that's managed appropriately. So, and the NTPF is assisting us in cutting the waiting lists by buying activity in the private system. This is not within that scope. This is something that's quite different from my initial read of it. But I am very careful to try to gather information and take the next steps. As I said, I did receive this report at 3 o'clock yesterday and I briefed the Cabinet in the best way that I could on it this morning.
Does the report find that the National Treatment Purchase Fund was misused in these cases?
I think I will wait to publish it exactly, but I think it's certainly the way that the report describes it raises very, very, very serious considerations for me. But I think it's important that the NTPF also have the opportunity to review the report, and my officials are liaising with the NTPF on that. But there is a very serious concern in relation to it.
Given the number of issues and their importance, the number of issues raised by this particular report, this particular investigation, should your department been aware of the report and its findings before now?
Yes, I believe it should. And neither the department nor the HSE was aware of this report, is the information that I have. So, and I will be checking and double checking, but it was certainly a very large surprise both to the CEO of the HSE and to all of the senior officials in my department yesterday. I believe that we should have been aware of it. I also believe that there were matters that were relevant to be notified to the National Patient Safety Office and, of course, the NTPF. So I think that that is one of the questions that I had back to CHI. Now, I have gotten an initial response from CHI, which is about, by way of background, the implementation plan that they had in respect of their report. But I think it's very important to look at what CHI have been doing. When CHI was created, it was bringing together three historical hospitals that were essentially run by religious orders to try to bring them to a single unit. And that has gone as a certain distance. But within that, and I think the CHI board have experienced this over time as that membership has changed over time, that there have been very there have been pockets of very toxic behaviour. There have been pockets of individuals who have been very defiant and who have not gone along with what the board and the executive and the broader thrust of public policy has been. And that has made, I think, it very difficult for CHI to get to the point that we want to get to. Nevertheless, it is now 2025 and we are moving towards a new children's hospital. And these behaviours where they exist, these whether toxic behaviours or decisions that are not made in line with international best practice, these are no longer, they were never tolerable, but we are in a totally different era of health now.
Do they continue,
towards a world-class
do you think?
Hospital. I can go on the information that I have, you know, at any given time. And I have two reports, one that I received on Thursday afternoon and published on Friday, one for which I had the first notification on Saturday and I received yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to gather information.
And just to be clear about that, sorry, if it wasn't for the Sunday Times and their report on Sunday, would any of us know anything about this?
There was no process in place that was bringing this to my attention, and I believe it should have been the attention of the minister, and I believe it should have been the attention of the National Patient Safety Office, even more importantly than the minister, because these issues are very, very serious. So I can't answer that, Rachel. I'm just saying to you that there was no process in place to bring this to my attention, and it should be at my attention.
Today's Irish Times reports that the consultant at the centre of this report, that he has now retired. Were you aware of that?
I was aware of that when I was made aware of the report, yes.
OK, so you discovered that yesterday. The board's chairman, coming back to CHI, the board's chairman resigned a month ago. This is just the latest controversy to hit Children's Health Ireland following, we had the unauthorised use of spinal springs, the unnecessary hip operations, and now this. Do you still have confidence in the rest of the board?
So I think it's important to say that we've had three resignations from the board this morning. These would be individuals who have worked on the board, worked in a volunteer capacity on the board since 2018, and who have provided a very strong service in bringing the hospitals from where they were, as I said, that historical model run by the religious, further. And they have dealt with very challenging circumstances. But I think it's also important to recognise that they have stepped down this morning. So as I
right,
look at
sorry,
the board...
Just to be clear about this, because mm-hmm. obviously this is something we hadn't heard before.
Yes.
Three additional members of the CH board have now left.
That's correct. That three additional members have now stepped down. So as I
did, you ask them to leave, or what was the process there?
As this information became apparent, and in particular after the report last week and over the weekend, I have made it clear that I have strong questions about the governance of CHI and its direction towards the future. This is something that I've referenced a number of times in the Dáil, and I've said that very clearly we need to have a functional governance structure to enable us to get to the opening of the Children's Hospital and to deal with the very many issues in children's health. I have a different relationship with the CHI board in statute than any other minister really has with most other boards. It is an unusual structure, and I don't have the authority to ask people to step down in the way that you normally might expect.
But you can probably make life pretty uncomfortable for them.
Well, I do recognise that there have been resignations this morning, and I want to thank those people for the service that they have given to the public, because we recognise that these are voluntary positions and we are asking people to step out of their other lives to perform a public service in this measure. And can I just say as well, as respect boards generally and public service generally, people are taking responsibility for the decisions of individual surgeons. The real accountability question, and I'll come back to the board of CHI, but the real accountability question should never be distracted from the decisions of surgeons who are either using, as in the HICWA report, where it's the wrong materials, non-surgical materials were used on the bodies of small children. The HIP report, where surgeons were performing surgeries on children that were not clinically indicated. Or indeed this more later report, where surgeons were making decisions. And I just want to distinguish between the accountability that's appropriate for the actual medics who are creating these difficulties and the people who are putting themselves forward for public service in different boards.
And do you believe then that those medics that they have been held accountable? Because some would question that.
I think that's a fair question, and the processes available are twofold. One, an employer. They are accountable to their employer, which is the individual, the hospitals and CHI, and number two, to the medical council. Now, I am aware that there are some processes in train, both within their employers and the medical council, and I will be meeting the medical council shortly to discuss more of those issues. But it is not directly for me to be able to hold individual doctors to account. They are, they're governed through their professional registration and through their employment status.
Mm-hmm. When then will you be replacing the people who have left the board of CHI? Because as we know, in the immediate aftermath of the Spinal Springs report, the board's chairman resigned.
That's right. And so as I look at the board, there are now seven people who are on it, including two that I've appointed over the weekend from the HSE board. There are seven people who are on it that were appointed in 2025 or in 2024. There are now three additional vacancies, and I will be looking to make similar appointments over the next number of days. It is important that the board, that there is an extant structure that continues, that enables us to continue to function in CHI and also move to the next hospital. But as I have said a number of times in the Dáil, and as I've said in different contexts, I am looking at all of these different issues in what I hope is a well-paced way, so as not to be dramatic about these things, but to manage them in a way that continues the functionality of CHI, moving to that most important piece, which is patient care, patient safety, and the opening of the new hospital. But I am, you know, we will go through that direction now over the next number of weeks.
Okay, away then from CHI. Does it raise wider questions about the use of the National Treatment Purchase Fund when patients are being transferred, say, from a doctor's public waiting list to their private practice, as does happen? I mean, is that system open to manipulation?
I think I have more work to do with the NTPF before I use the word manipulation, but I think it's very clear, if you take two steps back, that I have expressed a very deep concern about the practice of insourcing and the way in which that's been used, and instructed Bernard Gloucester to do an audit, which I expect to receive in about 2 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm. And again,
insourcing,
to be clear about this,
mm-hmm,
insourcing...
This is not that, they are different things, exactly.
Yeah, insourcing, yes, is when a particular patient in a particular hospital goes from the public waiting list there to a doctor's private practice.
Exactly. And the NTPF is a different thing, where you're trying to buy private capacity to help people who are on longer public waiting lists to receive treatments more quickly. But I think if you look at where we want to go with this overall, Sláintecare is about delivering a public system. And we have now about 62% of our consultants on a public-only consultant contract. And we have to manage that transition of private practice in public hospitals. We have to manage that out as we manage out the older contracts that enable that. We have to make sure that the space and the services in public hospitals are for public patients, and that that helps us move to Sláintecare more broadly. That is a difficult transitional thing to do, because at the same time we are trying to look after people on longer waiting lists by providing them services and providing them surgeries that they need, the people who are in pain and need these surgeries. So there is a transition there to happen. But Sláintecare is the settled policy of the Oireachtas. We all want to move in that direction. The Oireachtas and previous ministers before me have taken many, many steps. Previous governments have taken many steps to get us to that point. And we are going to have to take further steps to make sure that we are not enabling incentives to slow down that transition to a fully a productive public model.
And do you fear that that's possible at the moment, and that maybe there are other cases like this one?
I think it's important to reflect on the audit from that Bernard is conducting in relation to insourcing generally. But I think it's also important to say that I have directed an audit occur in relation to the way in which the lists are established in CHI, and to make sure that there is going to be a centralised referral to all CHI surgical services. So what I mean by that is that if, for example, my child needs surgery, that they go in and that they're allocated a surgeon rather than being directed to a particular surgeon. We have to just make sure that there's an equity of access for all patients, and there are a number of steps to be taken in that regard.
Separately, you brought plans for an expert panel to review all dysplasia of the hip operations. You brought those plans before the Cabinet this morning. Now, who will be on this panel, and how quickly can the work get underway? Because parents are concerned.
Yes, of course they are. And so this is an external expert review panel that will be commissioned by the HSE, which will enable us to conduct the historical review of whether, for example, my child had surgery that was or wasn't necessary. So that means that an independent expert external to CHI will be able to assess the case, the x-rays, the circumstances that led to the surgery, and to determine was that in line with clinical practice or not.
So, and will those experts then, will they be from outside the country?
Potentially, yes, but certainly outside CHI. So I have asked the Royal College of Surgeons, and they have come back to me to confirm that they will help us in identifying those experts, both domestically and internationally. And I think that's very important in helping us get that going as quickly as possible.
Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll-McNeill, thank you very much for joining us on the News at One.